Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito said this about Citizens United, quote, "The question is whether speech that goes to the very heart of government should be limited to certain preferred corporations, namely media corporations. Surely the idea that the First Amendment protects only certain privileged voices should be disturbing to anybody who believes in free speech." Was actually what the McCain-Feingold Act did, or that section of the McCain-Feingold Act, it gave the media corporations a monopoly on voter influence. So the media corporations can tell the voters who's good, who's bad, but nobody else could actually, no other organizations could talk. So Citizens United, which was a Republican organization, was forbidden from speaking about candidates. When they have the power over speech, we don't know what they're going to write. Actually, we do know what they're going to write. We know that they're going to write laws that are bad for the people and good for those entities that control Congress right now.
Cannabis is the fastest growing industry in the U.S. Don't miss out on all the fantastic opportunities that exist. I have three free tools for you to cash in on the wave. The 2020 Jobs Infographic, the free ebook on the 500 hottest jobs in the industry, and the CBD ebook. Look for the links below or at sarahwestall.com under shop. Remember, these are 100% free to you.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Wendy Welsh coming to the show, and I actually met her in China. She was a member of the delegation, and we had different presentations that we were giving. And she gave her presentation on Citizens United. And of course, that was a situation. It was a McCain-Feingold Act that went through, and then it was reversed by the Supreme Court because they found it that it was unconstitutional. And she's going to explain it. It was all the way from 2002. But there's huge momentum in groups trying to overturn that act and take away our freedom of speech. And she's going to talk about what's really going on. And of course, Soros's name comes up because he's funding a lot of that action. And there isn't a lot of opposition to this. And the scary part is this is a loophole they're trying to do with our Constitution to eliminate freedom of speech. And she is convinced that there's this huge movement and she's been part of it. She sees it. I don't know what she's been part of it, but she's seen it firsthand and all the people, and she's been approached, someone paying her to help bring this forward. So she's going to explain her story on that. And then she stays after for my patrons to talk about her run-ins with Antifa. She actually had some experience with them. She talked to different people trying to understand them. She had a couple liberal friends that she brought with them to a protest trying to help Julian Assange. And Antifa scared them so much they had to leave. And so she's going to explain what her run-in was with them and what she thought. That's for my patrons. You can get that at patreon.com/Sarah Westall. And I want to tell you, thank you so much for supporting me. Those that support me on Patreon, my numbers are down 75% from last year. My new membership is down by over 90% from last year. They're killing people like us. They're suppressing our voices. Censorship is really strong, and we've been talking about it for a long time, but they have successfully been able to take the mainstream media and move them up to the top, and their numbers are up. My show used to do better than most mainstream channels on YouTube. Now theirs are doing significantly better. My show is growing significantly on podcast. Thank you so much. It's growing there and then not on YouTube, which is crazy, but it is. But the only way my show is going to grow is through organic sharing. Get on my newsletter, because I'm telling you, the only way you're going to hear about it is about new shows is on my newsletter. Unless you subscribe to my podcast, you're not going to know about my video on YouTube. A lot of people tell me they don't get notifications. So get notifications. Join my newsletter. It's an easy, free way to support the show. If you don't have much money, please join my newsletter and share the content with people. But if you can become a patron, I'd really support it. You know, $5 a month can really help this journalist go a long way. And you can even put a dollar a month. I asked for $5, but you can put a dollar. It doesn't matter. I'm just trying to get the support. I do have free ebooks and free coupons, and I'm adding a new one for C60. So people who are my patrons can get 10% off of C60. Regular folks can get $5 off, and my patrons can get 10% off. So it's helpful. And again, you can get to my website at sarahwestell.com. You can get to any of the products I have at sarahwestell.com shop. And I want to also tell you, I am getting bombarded with people reaching out to me on email and on Facebook and on everywhere. I do try to get to all my patrons. I try hard. And if I don't get to you, repost it, because I will get there. But as far as comments on YouTube and comments everywhere, it's impossible, because I've had some people tell me I'm terrible, I don't respond. I'm sorry, I just can't. If I want to do my journalism, I can't respond to everybody, so I apologize. But again, Patreon is always my number one. So if you want to communicate with me on something, you know, you can do there. I also have a contact tool. A lot of people are submitting stories and interview ideas to me on my website. I do try to read through those. I can't get back to everybody. Again, I'm sorry, but I try. So let's get into this really important interview on how to protect our freedom of speech and how the Citizens United ugly head is coming back up and rearing its ugly head. And of course, Soros is involved. So let's get into this really important interview with Wendy Walsh. Hi, Wendy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. It's good to see you again.
Exactly. I was really happy that you were willing to come on the show, because you did a presentation when we were in China to the delegation, and you talked about Citizens United, which I know for a lot of people is something that seems like it's an old issue, but it's not, because that is rearing its ugly head, and it is the cornerstone of removing free speech and what's going through Congress and what they're trying to reverse. Can you first explain what Citizens United is, kind of when it came about, and then we'll get into how it's rearing its ugly head to ultimately, hopefully not, be a way they can eliminate our free speech rights. But talk about what this thing, this ugly thing, was about.
Yeah, so in 2002, John McCain and Russ Feingold, now John McCain is that bomb Iran guy. He and Russ Feingold made a law called the McCain-Feingold Act, also called the Bipartisan Act. And what it does is it does a lot of things. I mean, Cynthia McKinney was mentioning how it also makes it really easy for them to funnel a whole bunch of money toward just their candidates. But the part that I'm going to talk about is really just, it's about speech, actually. So when John McCain and Russ Feingold first talked about this, it sounded really good. It was, if you think about it, there's just some flood of information going in to the voters and influencing them. And we'd like to have it be quiet so that we can all just think to ourselves who's the best candidate. But so what the McCain-Feingold Act did was it said that 30 days before a primary and 60 days before a general election, no one can mention a candidate's name. So, and it's supposed to have that sort of quiet. But they gave an exemption to the corporate media. So that means that if you had owned a media corporation, if you had enough money for a media corporation, you would be able to influence voters. But if you didn't, you couldn't. So if you were, say, any organization like the ACLU or the NAACP or any organization, you couldn't talk about the candidates at all.
CNN, ABC, could. MSNBC, right. Fox mm-hmm. News, all those players can New York right. Times, Washington Post. But now, how did they define journalists? Like, would it have been people with radio shows and blogs?
I'm actually not really sure if that's true. They would say, you know, media. It was what the FEC decided as media corporations. So I'm sorry, I don't know that for sure. But I know that once they amend the Constitution, they will be able to take that away. They'll be able to pick and choose who can speak. And that would be a really problem.
Just to throw this in here, I know that journalists such as myself unless you're registered with certain things, like you were saying, aren't allowed, like for the Las Vegas shootings, they only allowed certain journalists in that were registered, and anybody who was an independent journalist couldn't be in those briefings. So I'm assuming it was that kind of deal. And at that time, people are walking around saying that you have to be registered as a journalist, it has to be real journalists.
Right.
And then they dropped all that. But that's what they were, that was the speech at the time.
Well, I completely agree. I think that the real problem is when they amend the Constitution, they can write whatever they want. The Congress can write whatever they want and silence whoever they want. And that's the problem.
What did this act do specifically?
Specifically, it said that no organization could mention a candidate 30 days before a primary or 60 days before a general election. So then what happened was there's this organization called Citizens United. It's a nonprofit organization. And what it said was, you know, we don't like the fact, they didn't like Hillary Clinton. And they made a movie called Hillary the Movie, and they wanted to show ads for that movie on pay-per-view. So those ads were mentioning Hillary within those that time. So the FEC said, that goes against the McCain-Feingold Act. You're not allowed to do that. And then that went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and that the Supreme Court said, no, the Congress do not have the power under the First Amendment to silence and pick and choose who can speak. Actually, it's kind of interesting I'm just going to show you. This is what Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito said this about Citizens United. Quote, the question is whether speech that goes to the very heart of government should be limited to certain preferred corporations, namely media corporations. Surely the idea that the First Amendment protects only certain privileged voices should be disturbing to anybody who believes in free speech. So you mean you could see that what it was actually what the McCain-Feingold Act did, or that section of the McCain-Feingold Act, it gave the media corporations a monopoly on voter influence. So the media corporations can tell the voters who's good, who's bad, but nobody else could actually, no other organizations could talk. So Citizens United, which was a Republican organization, was forbidden from speaking about candidates.
Which is crazy, and we can all see with only there being only six media owners, it's just a nightmare. So that obviously, so Supreme Court shut that down, but there's a big movement now to overturn that. Can you talk about this movement to overturn it, and how in their right mind are they explaining that being a positive?
Yes, so there are many organizations to reverse Citizens United. And what's really interesting is that these amendments, they all kind of look the same. They're all in three parts. Sometimes the first two are swapped, but one of them is about reversing money doesn't equal speech. And when they're selling it, the pitching it, they pitch it as big money should be, controlled from speaking, right? So they say money doesn't equal speech, big money shouldn't be speaking. But actually what it means is Congress has the power to regulate political speech. And when they write these amendments, this paragraph, it doesn't say organizations, it says anybody. So that means this is worse than just saying that Citizens United, the decision, the Supreme Court decision never happened. This actually takes the speech rights of people, you and me, and that's what's really important. The second paragraph is about corporations aren't people, and that's a whole other discussion. If we had an organization, say Citizens United or something like that, if you do research on corporate law, which I did, the number one way that organizations get protection under the Constitution is they piggyback on personhood. So they have corporate personhood. And with the corporate personhood, they get the Fourth Amendment, for example, which means unreasonable search and seizure. So say, imagine your very favorite organization, any of them, like your very favorite organization, and that Congress would have the power to unreasonably search and seize all of their equipment, all of their property, everything, because their ownership, they wouldn't have constitutional protection anymore. And that's what number two is about. Number three of these, like I said, they're almost template, these amendments. The third one is nothing in this shall affect the freedom of, the freedom of the press. And so the freedom of the press, it doesn't mean media corporations. What it means is printers. So if you make a book, then that book, Congress can't forbid you from printing a book or from having flyers. So that's a good thing, but it's really interesting that these things all look the same.
Now, these are constitutional amendments that they're trying to get through so that the Supreme Court couldn't knock it down? Or, I mean, how are they going to get it? Even if Congress makes a law, the Supreme Court would just say, hey, you're going against the First Amendment. So are they saying they want to alter the Constitution?
Yes, that's what an amendment is. So what they're trying to do is rewrite the Constitution to say that Congress, and these actually what they usually say is Congress shall have the power to regulate political expenditures. Now, when you read that, you think, oh, expenditures, that's not a big deal. But I mean, it doesn't have to do with speech. It's not saying speech, but it's implicit in the words, because Congress already has the power to limit the expenditures on any other front. It's implicit that this means political speech, because they don't have the power to limit political speech. And that's why they have to have that third paragraph that says the press, because if they didn't put that in, that would say that Congress would then have the power to stop books from being printed. It's really kind of crazy.
So what do you think is the likelihood that something like this could actually pass? Because this is, they're going after the core of free speech. They're trying to affect elections. They're trying to say the press, who's already manipulated by six, I mean, it's so obvious. It's a state-owned or a cabal-owned organization by six, it's supposed to be, people say it's four organizations now, or people that own, I don't know about people, but groups that own all these media companies. So obviously the consolidation and control of who would win any election would be in the hands of very few people. And we're almost at that point anyways, with big tech censoring voices all over the place. And if you look, like YouTube used to be really broad, and I'm down by 75%. My new subscribers are down by 90% from last year. Meanwhile, the main media companies are front and center, and they're up by leaps and bounds, but they're paying a lot of money to get what I would have gotten naturally. And now they're keeping us from growing. The only way we can grow now is organically, and people sharing our stuff. And even that's hard because they're hiding it from people. But that being said, what is the likelihood that something like this could actually pass? I mean, how many people are seriously trying to make this happen?
So God, there's so much to say. Okay, so I was working to fight the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the woman who led my group, she brought a manila folder to me and said, hey, I just wanted to show this to you. I think this is interesting. This will interest you. It's inside, it had a letter, and it said, the work you're doing to fight the TPP is really great, but corruption is way more important. If you could, it would be better if you could switch your focus from the TPP to reversing Citizens United. And if you do that, we'll give you a stipend, we'll give you money. So we will fund you for changing your direction. And she said, because of the research I did on Citizens United, she said, I won't do that. But I actually would have considered it if it hadn't been for the research that you've done. Later, I looked up that organization that had sent her that letter, and it's a George Soros-funded organization. So this is a really incredibly, it's astroturfed movement, and it's enormous. I have often gone to these organizations. There are several of them. Move to Amend is one of them. And I try to talk to these people, and they won't even let me speak, which is ironic. But I try to explain to them, look, who is going to be silenced? If we give a corrupt Congress power over speech, and we know that Congress is not doing good for the people, they're only doing things for good money, who are they going to silence? They're definitely going to silence anyone who goes against the corruption that's already there.
Well, it won't be any different than big tech right now. What happened is big tech is silencing people, and we're in a nightmare Orwellian situation right now where big tech is silencing alternative voices, and they're only doing what the big money wants. And then if you did this, it would be that on steroids. We would have absolutely no way
to
fight back.
What they're taking away is money, so political expenditures, which means it costs money to have a blog. A vlog. It costs money to, to rent a room in a hall, and that is speech that costs money. And so, if Congress has the power to silence that, we're in big trouble. It's really scary.
Repeat that now. Repeat that, because that's a big point. You were saying that they're trying to say that speech that costs money should be silenced. Now, media and the press is okay, but speech that costs money should be silenced.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that means? Because I don't think people understand that if you rent a room and you want to give a talk, go ahead.
I really do have to explain this because it's really important. And I think I've figured out a way to explain this quickly. It's that, like I did say it at the Chat and Chai. So let's see if I can hold this up. If you can imagine, in that square is all of the laws that could be written. Every law that could be written is in that square, okay? It could be everyone has to drive on the right-hand side of the road, or heroin is illegal, or a good one is the Disclose Act, which said that all organizations had to disclose all of their donors, except it exempted one of the organizations. And that's really important to know, that in the square, all of the laws are written, except for, and this is what's great about the Constitution, you've got this small square of the Bill of Rights, okay? And it has the First Amendment, it has the Second Amendment, it has the Fourth Amendment, it has all that square. Congress doesn't have the power to write. Now, if we amend Constitution, now give Congress the power to limit speech, and it won't. We're not saying that Congress, this amendment doesn't limit speech. It just gives Congress the power so that they could write a law instead of the Disclose Act, which exempts some organizations. They could write a speech act, which says everyone is limited from speaking except the select organizations, the George Soros-funded organizations that we have decided are okay. They could do that.
Yeah, that's why the laws and the processes that are put in are really important. But you did mention what they're trying to do with money. Speech that costs money is going to be barred. And that was actually included.
It's not. See, that's what I'm saying. It's not barred, okay? There's a difference between a law and an amendment. So when you have Congress at now has no ability to write a law. So we're not talking about a law. We're talking about giving Congress the power to write whatever law it wants. So I don't know who they're going to silence. I don't know what right law they're going to write. But it's giving them power to write whatever to write a law that does that.
Weren't you talking that one of the proposals is to silence speech that costs money?
All of the amendments, what they do is give Congress the power to do that. And then the next step, once they get the power to, it's like, okay, if you take speech
I understand
rights,
that, okay, but was that in the amendment? That specific thing was in the amendment.
In the amendment, it says Congress shall have the power to limit political expenditures. So, and that just gives them that power. What kind of laws will come out when they have the power to write laws in that spot, when they have the power over speech. We don't know what they're going to write. Actually, we do know what they're going to write. We know that they're going to write laws that are bad for the people and good for those entities that control Congress right now.
Well, that's obvious. That's why we don't want to give them that power. We need to maintain right. the freedom of speech. Can you, I think this is very important. Cynthia McKinney talked about what she learned. Actually, her mother found this. What yeah. she learned during her campaign and how they were specifically using this act to try to defeat her. Could you explain that?
Okay, so that is not part of the research that I did, but from what they said, that it allows a lot of money to funnel through. It's kind of like a back door to for money to go into certain campaigns, which shouldn't be legal, and it shouldn't, if you've read the whole act, which is enormous, then you know these back doors.
Yeah, I remember they were able to use names of people that you didn't have to, each person could donate a certain amount, but you didn't have to know them, and they didn't have to know about the fact that they were donating. So they had these yeah. lists of names. People were completely unaware of it. And they would have like 25,000 names, and wealthy people could donate on their behalf. And so they would have like, or corporations, whatever. So they would have like 25,000 names of unknowing people. People don't even know their names on the flipping list, and they would right. donate on their behalf. And then so next thing you know, there's 25,000 people that were right. giving money to another candidate on behalf of a wealthy, you know, some wealthy did it through all these 25,000 people. And right. next thing you know, the candidate that has all this money, and you don't have, but it's because they made that as a clause in that act.
That's,
and it was used against her specifically. That right. to me was kind of eye opening of how they use loopholes to
exactly.
win elections. Yeah.
So what's interesting about that is that that is in the McCain-Feingold Act. All right. That doesn't have to do with Citizens United at all. When the McCain-Feingold Act and Citizens United went before the Supreme Court, they didn't take that out. So that's still there. You know, they only took this little clause that says Congress doesn't have the power to limit speech. And they had to take that part of this McCain-Feingold Act. But this horrible thing that Cynthia McKinney was talking about is still there. It's really sad. We're in a really bad place, and I just don't want it to get worse. I want it to get better, and I think we can get it better. We can stop the corruption, but if we amend the Constitution to give Congress power over speech, we will not be able to stop corruption, and that's what I'm really afraid of.
Well, it gives you an idea of why McCain was such a yeah. creep. And it also, he was not what we think he is, but, you know, they just had this big rally in Virginia, and they're really fighting to keep the Second Amendment. And right. that's very important, because that Second Amendment helps maintain the First Amendment. But if we forget about the First Amendment, you know, we're going to be in trouble. So we have to understand all these games that they're playing to get rid of right. our First Amendment. And it's yeah. pretty scary. Go ahead.
There's more to say. So you asked about so there are all these organizations that are funded by, of course, the people who want to take away the First Amendment. And these organizations are getting money, and they are making strides. And unfortunately, they are making strides. We need to fight them. One came to a group where a political group, local political group that I belong to, and she gave her pitch, and someone asked, well, what is the reason not to amend the Constitution, you know, to reverse Citizens United? And she said, there is no reason. There is no group that are fighting us. And that was really kind of creepy for me. And actually, it's true. I haven't seen that many. I have seen some, but not that many. And of course, I had to raise my hand and say, no, there is a reason, and I'd like to tell you why. We don't want to give Congress the power over speech. Then that'll be worse.
And they didn't let you talk, right? They didn't let you talk.
They said, you're not allowed to talk, which was really, really disappointing. So I can give you one example of, and there have been many amendments, but one example I'll give you is the Udall Amendment. You can look that up, the Udall Amendment. And like I said, it looks like the same template of all of the other ones. And he was a senator, and he put it, you know, before the Senate, and more than 50% of the senators voted for it. They needed 3/4, so it didn't pass. It's a good thing.
What did the act do that over 50% of the senators vote for?
It was like what I had explained to you before. It had 3 paragraphs. They all look the same.
Money
doesn't equal speech, or speech that costs money is not protected under this Constitution. Number 2, corporations aren't people. And 3, nothing in this amendment shall abridge the freedom of the press. That's pretty much what it said.
A speech that costs money scares me, because that's me. My website costs money. I wouldn't be able to do it. You rent a hall and do a talk that costs money. You do a convention, you know, the Freedom Convention that's coming up, that costs money. So that wouldn't be allowed. All that stuff wouldn't be allowed at least 60 days before an election. That's scary.
Well,
okay.
That's so if they wrote a law that was just like the McCain-Feingold Act, so they could probably just institute the McCain-Feingold Act again, but they could make something even worse. We're not arguing whether or not the McCain-Feingold Act is going to come back, or that provision of the McCain-Feingold Act. It's they could write anything if they have the power over speech. That's the real problem.
They're fixing the Supreme Court had an issue with it because of this, and they're fixing the obstacle that the Supreme Court had. So by doing this, Supreme Court would no longer have that obstacle saying it's against our Constitution.
That's correct.
That's what's scary. Oh, man. Okay.
Like I said,
go ahead.
It goes further, because it also, it includes individuals. It's not just about corporations.
Once you have that, they can go and do whatever they want. So it's worse, but it removes the Supreme Court obstacle.
That's true. That's what they're trying to do. And so there are many organizations nationwide that are working tirelessly. And like I said, funded. They think they're doing the right thing. I go and I talk to these people and they just don't understand what I'm saying sometimes. I mean, it's very difficult. I've only explained this to only a handful of people who could understand it. But, they have to. So there are several ways of amending the Constitution, or a couple of ways to amend the Constitution. You can have it go through the Senate and Congress, or you can actually have it all of the states will make their own amendment, and they all ask for this. So if they have 3/4 of the states, then they can also do this. There are also, actually, this is the most terrifying thing, is the Constitutional Convention. So they've been asking for this as well. If they have a Constitutional Convention, they can rewrite any of the Constitution. I'm not kidding. Some organizations are asking for the ability to rewrite the entire Constitution.
And Soros is funding this. This is all goes back to Soros.
I don't know if there are other funders. I just know that my friend was offered money by a Soros organization to do this. So I don't know who else is funding it and which organizations he's funding. He's just one. He could be the only one, but
his name pops up everywhere. That's the crazy part. Every time you dig in, it's like, oh, well, Soros is behind that one again. It's just constant.
Right.
Okay, so now how can people learn more about this? I know you wrote an article on it. I know you wrote something that was geared more for liberals as an animation, because you had to figure out how to target them and help them understand. And so if people see that, they're you know, depending on what side of the spectrum you're on, you know, you have to use different language to try to educate people on different things so they understand what it is that they're trying to say. So you have this animation that was geared for them. You also have an article that is more geared for
independence.
The article
really it gets into what does Citizens United mean, because I didn't see any articles actually talking about the real nuts and bolts of Citizens United. The article I wrote is nonpartisan. The animation is sort of slightly trying to talk to the left, because most of these people who are trying to amend the Constitution are really left wing.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, you have to figure out in their language how to tell them, hey, stop. And so I applaud you for doing that, because if we don't do that, we're hosed. Okay, so what are your two websites? I know you have two of them. You have your main website with your article on it, and then you have the other one with your animation. Can you tell us what they are?
Yes, so helpunclesam.org, and that is that has the article on it. And the other one is theanswerislocal.com.
Well, it's great, because a lot of people have liberal friends or people who are just off the rocker on the left side. Send them that. That might help them.
Yeah.
So that's really good. I mean, we have to figure out how to combat some of this stuff. So thank you so much for coming. Would you mind staying after for my patrons and talk about some of the interesting experiences you've had with Antifa?
I would love to.
Okay, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's good to see you.